welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
With Rod Oram this morning, all the way over in Glasgow, where you are reporting on COP26. Kia ora, Rod. How are you?
Oh, Marina, Rachel, very well, thank you.
It is great to be able to chat to you at this quite sort of, I guess, crucial time for the COP26 negotiations. We have seen the first draft of an agreement set out now. What's your take on this? And also, what's your take on what's happening over there at the moment? How is it on the ground?
It's, needless to say, vastly complicated and very exciting in terms of so many issues in play from
yes.
so many parties. But certainly this first draft is very weak. The very interesting part about it is, or one of the most crucial ones, is that a number of countries, particularly the US, the UK and the EU, want to have this agreement require countries to upgrade their climate pledges, their nationally determined contribution every year. But there's a lot of pushback from the heavy emitters, particularly the likes of China and Russia. So I think that's going to be a very intense part of the negotiations. And I can't imagine quite what the trade-off would be to get them on side, that the developed countries would be trying to offer them in exchange. But if that could be pulled off, which I think is a very big thing to watch for, that would make our path to 1.5 degrees by the interim stage of 2030 and then ultimately 2050 a lot more plausible and credible than currently.
So if this first draft is looking weak, is it cause for despair? Is there still hope that we could see some positive outcomes from COP26? What are your thoughts on that?
There's a very different dynamic here compared to other COPs, because the UK decided to have the World Leaders Summit at the beginning, not at the end. So, for example, at Paris, it was kind of like Obama and others turning up for the last couple of days that really made that happen. But the idea here at the UK was to front-load COP with the world leaders being here at the beginning. And so that's leaving quite an interesting question, is whether there is a political will, because negotiators are going to have to be referring back to their country leaders elsewhere rather than having them in the room. So that's a big unknown. But I think even if that big improvement isn't pulled off, I think you need to still take a very balanced view about progress across the piece in other ways. And so we could get more progress on forests, for example, or on coal, or on agriculture. So I think when we start to realize early Saturday morning what the full package is, you'd need to have that balanced view. However, that doesn't in any way diminish the need to still push on very hard with bigger commitments from countries, like straight away next year. So everybody's feet has to be kept to the fire on that.
Now, where is New Zealand in all of this? What are we looking like in these negotiations, and particularly when it comes to supporting our counterparts in the Pacific? What's happening there? Are we pulling our weight in that arena?
This is very hard to judge, and I offer this as a very partial perspective, and it's based largely on good people I've been talking to, but not necessarily full picture. There is a real concern here that the New Zealand delegation is a lot smaller than in the past. There is not New Zealand playing a big role in the Pacific Pavilion here to try and get that message across. And whilst there's a fair few representatives from civil society here, there is a very small representation for business, from business, etc. So New Zealand's profile is very low here, with one exception. James Shaw, our climate minister, is co-chairing a very important work stream on transparency, and he's co-chairing that with the environment and health and well-being minister from Antigua and Barbuda in the Caribbean. Now, and that's a really important work stream, because that's about making sure that the reporting framework for NDCs is very transparent, so you can see what countries are doing. But crucially, doing that in ways that makes it possible for small developing countries to be able to engage in that process, because it's quite an onerous process. So there's a number of work streams like that, and indeed there's often a pairing of a developed country with a developing one, and size in itself doesn't matter. People are chosen for those roles on the basis of their country and their own personal knowledge in the areas that they're co-chairs of. So it's a significant testament to New Zealand that New Zealand has that co-chairing role and that Shaw's leading it. But it's a very difficult work stream. And I don't know how that's going. I'll be watching that very closely by the time we get to the final moments, midnight Friday and into the early hours of Saturday morning.
And so what happens once we get to that point, after Saturday when we've seen this final draft, what kind of happens from then? Where does it move out of the actual talks? What's the next sort of thing that goes on?
Well, by the end, it has to be a final agreement to which the countries of the world agree. Madrid, the previous COP the year before last, because there wasn't one last year because of COVID, was a disaster because they kept pushing the deadline on for several days, and they still didn't come up with anything. So that midnight deadline on Friday, I hope, is closely adhered to, even if it does drift into the early hours of Saturday morning. But what then happens is that is a definitive document that has been agreed.
Yeah.
And so it's up to countries of the world and the United Nations and all the other bodies involved, organizations in the UN, to then progress that work thereafter. So it's a real document that does hopefully lay out quite a lot of work to be done very soon thereafter.
And what will you have your eye on between now and that deadline? What are you hoping to see, or what are you going to be watching very closely, Rod?
I really hope the pressure is ramping up on all countries to come back and add some more to their NDCs. And I would love to see New Zealand to do that, even though it was only the Sunday before COP that our government finally announced our new one. So that's the big, big thing. Then we do need progress on the rule book, particularly on carbon markets and on transparency and other things. We do need a lot bigger commitment from developed countries to support developing countries in all this. Those would be big. It would be fantastic to see some greater clarity, some greater pressure on ending coal-fired electricity generation and on reining in fossil fuel investment. But I think those last two are going to be won't come through in this final agreement. I think that the push for that is going to have to come from civil society and investors and others. And indeed, changing technology is making a big difference on all of those. But those would be the big areas. I don't want to offer one other expression, though. There's too much talk about, I think, here about sort of a business-led solution to this. Can you get the carbon price right and then everything else happens?
Yeah.
I think that's completely wrong. That this has to be a whole-of-society solution to climate change where everybody's involved, everybody feels a party of this. And some things plain just can't be expressed in dollars and price terms. And I think there has to be, we have to find some expression of that in all this. So it doesn't all come down to money and price. It's about the individual commitments that people want to make, organizations want to make, countries want to make, and to solve this in non-financial ways.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like a fascinating time to be there. Enjoy the last few days, and we will be watching very closely what comes out of those talks and that final document on Friday night. Thank you so much, Rod Oram, for speaking with us over in Glasgow at the moment. We will talk to you again soon.
Yes, and it's going to be gripping, and perhaps the next time you speak, I'll be in quarantine, hopefully.
Yes, exactly. Hey, ka kite, have a good week. See you soon.
Thanks, see ya. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary with Rob.